Music, conversation. Friday evening, Patrick Schering on Phoenix FM.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Thank you, my friends. Great to have your company with us here once again on Phoenix on a Friday night. And thank you so much for the last couple of hours. I think they call that high energy radio, the way he does it. Not sure I've got too much high energy today. But I'm sure I shall be rejuvenated by doing Phoenix FM's show tonight. So we've got a great show as ever lined up for your entertainment tonight. I shall be chatting away to Stuart Hull this evening at about 8:15. And if you've been listening to the show for years, you may recall Stuart's name because we chatted to him a number of times over the years, followed through his career, really, from his sense of calling into the ministry through some time when he was in Wales, working at a church there, and then his years in Oxford studying to the ministry, and then when he was in Chelmsford as a curate, and now that he is at Christchurch Worley and Little Worley here in Brentwood. But he's going to be talking about another role that he has as a chaplain for the army, and so that should be really fascinating. But it'll be about 8:15. And then tonight we have our birthday quiz straight after chatting to Stuart as well, and you're able to take part in that if you want to. It's radio@phoenixfm.com to email in when we're doing the doing that later on. And then we're going way back tonight. Though sometimes we do go further, it's true. We're going back for the chart for 1974 this particular week. And also musically tonight, where are we going to go? Well, let me see. We're going to be hearing from Midgewer, Lauren Diego, David Essex, Stacey Kent, who is an artist that Ian Adams introduced us to when he was a guest some weeks ago, Lady A, and Oasis, amongst many others. And of course, you can add to that. You can just email me radio@phoenixfm.com, and we'll see what we can do. So that's our 2 hours tonight. And don't forget that Dave comes along at 10 with Retrograde.
For the best, music and chat in town, Patrick Schering on Phoenix FM.
And getting us off tonight, this is a track from Mary Chapin Carpenter. Good message this. Why walk when you can fly?
this world there's a whole lot of trouble, baby. In this world there's a whole lot of pain. In this world there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you could be giving? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? There's a whole lot of sorrow. In this world, there's a whole lot of shame. In this world, there's a whole lot of sorrow and a whole lot of ground to gain. When you spend your whole life wishing, wanting and wondering why, it's a long enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? There's a whole lot of cold. In this world, there's a whole lot of blame. In this world, you've a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. There's a star on the far horizon, rising bright in an azure sky. For the rest of the time that you're given, why walk when you can fly?
Mary Chapin Carpenter and Why Walk When You Can Fly. So we've got our birthdays quiz later on, but of course we ignore the people of the obvious ones. So we didn't have John Lennon last week that we played a track for featuring him from the Beatles, because he was 80 last week. And then Cliff Richard was 80 this week. So again, we're not going to feature Cliff, but rather Phil's asked for a track by him. So I thought we'd have The Only Way Out, a song recorded by Cliff, released in 1982 as the lead single from the album Now You See Me, Now You Don't. The song reached number 10 in the UK charts and the top 20 in Australia, Belgium, Finland, Ireland, Netherlands and Switzerland.
The only way out is the only way in, and it's you.
as from his really second career when he suddenly came back into prominence in the 1980s and The Only Way Is Out. And there's a picture of him around in the media today where he arrived back into the UK for his 80th birthday celebrations over this coming week, though of course they may have to have been rather changed, mightn't they, depending where he lives. And I have to say he looked utterly astonishing for somebody of his age. Well, there's such great programmes up here. You can find them all on the website, on the Brentwood Gazette and in other mediums as well.
Hi, it's Antonia Jones. Why not join me for the Saturday Breakfast Show on Phoenix FM from 7am to 10am? I'll be playing the hottest tunes, featuring interviews with artists, plus I'll keep you up to date with my regular beauty and lifestyle feature. You can also catch the show on podcast on the Phoenix FM website. To get your weekend off to a great start, tune in from 7am.
I wash my hands to protect my family.
I wear a face covering to protect my mates.
I make space to protect my colleagues.
Hands.
Face.
Space.
I wash my hands to protect strangers.
I wear a face covering to protect other passengers.
I make space to protect you.
Hands.
Face.
Space.
As we spend more time indoors, we need to do whatever we can to help protect each other from coronavirus. So please, wash hands, cover face, make space.
Friday Nights with Patrick Sherry.
Phoenix FM.
And I'm delighted to say that I've got Stuart Hull on the phone. Evening, Stuart. Oh, hang on. Let's try that again. Hey, Stuart, are you there? Oh, that's very interesting. Where's he gone? I tell you what, while we try to sort that out...
Hello,
that's...
sorry, good evening, Patrick.
Oh, that's right. It was you, not me. Yeah, that's good. Where did you run away to, Stuart, or shouldn't we ask?
Pardon, sorry? No, just had problems with my phone, but very glad to be here. How are you?
Oh,
doing?
Well, that's great. Well, it's great to have you there as well, Stuart. Excellent. Thank you very much. So, Stuart, I was saying earlier on that people may remember you from over the years of chatting away with me here on the station. And now, of course, you're here in Brentwood. So what's the 9-to-5, as it were? Though, of course, vicars don't work 9-to-5. What's the job, the main part of your job these days?
The main part of my job these days, I'm really blessed to be back in the Brentwood area. It initially felt quite strange returning to where I grew up, but it's lovely to be back. And I currently have the blessing of serving as priest in charge of two local churches. So that's Christ Church in Worley and St Mary's in Great Worley, which is lovely to be able to do. There's some great people there, which is lovely to minister alongside. It's been a challenging couple of months for all of us, hasn't it? And it's been more than a couple of months now, I suppose, hasn't it?
But
it's been an opportunity, I think, for our churches to reach out to our communities in ways that maybe we didn't do previously. And so I think the 9-to-5 has been probably similar to you, Patrick. It's been grappling with that virtual presence, which I think many churches have built up. Which has been both a challenge but a joy, and I think I've had to overcome some of my own technical failures, but it's been lovely to reach people in the parish and outside of the parishes who we weren't reaching previously through online and virtual services, which has been a real blessing, and supporting some of the local food banks. I also serve as a army chaplain in the Army Reserve, so I'm part of the Royal Army Chaplains Department, and I'm currently serving with 151 Royal Logistic Corps. It's a real pleasure to serve some really motivated and really hard-working women and men who do some great stuff in the Army Reserve. And so all of that combined tends to keep me fairly out of trouble, fairly busy.
Good. I'm glad we keep you out of trouble, Stuart. That's very good. So tell us a bit more about this role in the Army, then. How does this come about?
So I've always had an interest in the military, and I think when I was very young, I did feel that sort of twin calling to either serve as a minister or possibly go into the armed forces. And in the end, I felt that whilst I had a passion for people in the military and I supported so much of what they did, I felt that ministry I could have a greater impact as a minister, and I really loved my civilian ministry. However, after sort of progressing in my civilian ministry for a couple of years, I saw that there were opportunities to serve, maybe not in the full-time army, but in the Army Reserve. And so that's been a blessing So I got in touch with the Army Recruitment Office, who put me in touch with some chaplains, and I got to go and visit these chaplains where they were serving, all across the country. I got to see what they did, and it's some really amazing stuff. You speak to some padres, as chaplains are known, both men and women who have served in Afghanistan, in Iraq, all over the world, and how they've walked beside soldiers and other service people through some very, very challenging and difficult moments, but how the presence of God has been illuminated in some very dark places because of the work of army chaplains. So I got to visit some chaplains on their bases and see what they did. And then I had to attend an army officer selection board, which was an interesting experience. There was obstacle courses, there were command tasks, there was even a bit of running, which is always fun, Patrick. not always my gift, but it's good to attempt anyway. And I wasn't too winded by the end of it. And that was really interesting. Chaplains are selected as professionally qualified officers, so you're selected alongside vets, lawyers, and other qualified professionals to serve the army in unique ways. And really, it's about serving men and women who make tremendous sacrifices to support our nation in defence, but also many other ways as well. And that's been a real blessing and a really interesting process.
Well, it's interesting there, Stuart, that you said, I think you said something about bringing light into dark places, or just bringing that sense of God into difficult places. And so that must be really a challenging thing for people to do.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm very new to the military, so I don't have that operational experience. But I know that, you know, chaplains have dedicated time of prayer, of providing Holy Communion, of simply chatting to people and offering a listening ear and a kind word in a difficult situation. And I know for lots of people that's been really, really valuable. And I think as a minister, even though I'm not on operations, even just to go to my Army Reserve centres and to chat with service personnel, it's a real benefit to me as a minister to do something a bit different, but it's nice to be able to inform them that, you know, there is someone here who they can talk to, there is someone that they can chat to if they're worried, if they've got any concerns, and to speak to them of a hope that can support them even in the most difficult of times. And obviously, Patrick, we've got Remembrance Sunday coming up, and I've been doing a little bit of research for bits and bobs of that, and you see in the history of army chaplains who have served in the First World War, you know, those guys were speaking to soldiers, were praying with them, were supporting them, even as they were being shelled in the trenches. And there's some really amazing stories of being that light in a dark place.
And is it right, Stuart, that actually that the chaplains are the only people who are actually, when they're in the battlefield situation, but indeed all the rest of the time as well, but particularly in those situations, that they're the only people there who aren't armed?
Yes, so British Army chaplains are non-combatants and are not armed, and are there to love and support people on all theatres of conflict. And I think that's quite helpful in a way that it makes chaplains very distinctive. It's a very clear statement by not carrying a weapon of our role. Our role is to support military personnel, to care for them, to pastorally provide for them. And it's much easier to do that without that combat role being present, and simply to draw alongside troops and to know that we're there for them. Chaplains are outside of the chain of command. People can confide in chaplains in a unique way of confidence. I think being distinctive in that way is a real, really valuable asset. And I've heard that from both army chaplains and from serving soldiers.
That's interesting, isn't it? I know the first time I found this when I did some research about the chaplains who were lost in the First World War, and many, many chaplains were lost in the First World War. And often they were just people, unlike people who had done any training to be a chaplain, they were just folks who were ordinary, in inverted commas, clergy who just volunteered to undertake this role. But again, lots of them were lost. And just to think that they were there trying to do what they were doing amongst all that was happening, and having no way to defend themselves, just struck me as being unbelievable, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember not too long ago we were remembering the anniversary of Operation Market Garden and the Battle of Arnhem during the Second World War. And even as British troops were pulling out of that terrible conflict, chaplains volunteered along with other officers and medical staff to stay behind with the wounded. And they were voluntarily stayed behind and were captured, and chaplains were entitled to return back to their country of origin after being captured, but the chaplains chose to stay behind in the prisoner camps with their soldiers to minister to them. And that's a wonderful inspiration, I hope, for army, military and civilian ministers alike. There's some wonderful examples of ministers in the military offering all that they have, there, including their personal safety, to show people the love of Jesus in a very good way. And I take great comfort from that. And of course, army chaplains and all military chaplains are drawn from different denominations. And it's one of the highlights for me is serving alongside some ministers who have very different experiences, were maybe trained very differently and practiced very differently. But we've all got the same goal in mind. And that can be really good fun.
Great. Thank you, Stuart. Well, we'll leave it there for a moment. I'll come back to you in a minute. But we've got three tracks that we've been chosen by you tonight. So the first one that we've got here is Oasis, Little by Little. So why have you chosen this?
So I chose this because I can remember lots of late nights writing theological essays far later in the evening than I should have been writing them. And I used to have this song playing on in the background, and it would kind of motivate me to get them done.
Okay, Stuart. Well, we'll enjoy imagining you doing all of that. Oasis, and little by little, just gone 8:30 here on a Friday night on Phoenix, and I'm chatting with Stuart here. And Stuart, of course, that takes us to, back to Theological College, which would be a part of your journey, I suppose, to where you've ended up to now.
Yes, absolutely, Patrick. I think we did do one of these interviews when I was at Theological College.
We certainly did. And it's still there if people want to go back and find them all. It's still there for anybody to reference back to. It'd be interesting for you to listen back to that, Stuart. Find out what you said back then.
I was thinking when I was listening to that song of writing all those essays at college. And yeah, that feels like a world away.
Indeed. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's have a chat then about how your ministry pathway then, really. Where would you think all this began?
So I had the opportunity when I was at college. I was at Wycliffe Hall in Oxford, which was a great time, fantastic college, loved it, had a really good time there. We had an army chaplain come and visit, and he said, you know, for one of your summer placements, because as ordinands, we had to do summer placements in different ministry contexts, and he said, you know, do you want to come and see what army chaplains do? And I was already interested, and so I said, yeah, absolutely. So during the summer, we sort of went on this very short course where we got to go to Sandhurst, look at a bit of officer training at Sandhurst. So it's all army chaplains are commissioned officers. So that's part of your training and expectation is that you'll undergo army officer training and that you'll be a commissioned officer. So we got to go to Sandhurst, which is fascinating, this wonderfully historically rich place with fantastic history behind it. And you can really feel it when you're at Sandhurst and chatting to the cadets, who are these extraordinary people who are... They look so young, but so very, very motivated and capable. And I think to minister to them is quite a privilege, really. We then got to go to some army bases, which was good. So we got to see a few tanks and a few soldiers in theatre, in training theatres and operations, and doing some training. And that was really, really interesting. And it was great to observe army chaplains really getting in the thick of it with the troops. You know, they're down there in the ditches and amongst the trees and in the mud, sort of chatting to the men and women and seeing how they're doing and, you know, offering support and the occasional bag of sweets, which is always welcome, and a good cup of tea, which seems to be an important part of chaplaincy. And that was just great. It was really good to see chaplains not sort of hanging around at the back, but actually really getting invested with the troops. And I think that's something that I think we can take away to our civilian ministries, is that, you know, sort of really getting where people are, not expecting them to come to us, but being where they're at. And chaplains do that all the time, which is good. Then we had a few more conversations, had to write one or two mini, very, very small essays, did a bit of research into the history of army chaplains. And similar to what Church of England prospective ministers need to do in sort of looking at the history of ministry, we looked at the history of army chaplaincy. And then, yeah, the Army Officer Selection Board, which was an interesting time. It was quite challenging. You've got to be quite... There was a number of questions on the sort of mental arithmetic, which is not always my forte, but I sort of got on with it, and some team-building exercises that were actually pretty good fun. Overcoming obstacles using large oil barrels and planks of wood and two pieces of rope and getting over the ditch as a group under a certain time limit. That was pretty good fun, actually. A lot of us really enjoyed that. And, yeah, that was good. And I think, you know, I would say to anyone in ministry, you know, regardless of denomination, whether or not you're Church of England or otherwise, it's given me a perspective on the whole of my ministry. That's been really, really helpful, that idea of self-sacrifice, of leading from the front, getting invested where people are and reaching and seeing their need. That's been really, really helpful. So I would encourage anyone to look into that.
Yes, well, interesting, Stuart, you're talking about earlier on in the first part about the need for doing the fitness activities. So clearly there obviously has to be a fitness level for army chaplaincy. And is there an upper age limit beyond which people have felt that they're just unable to do this anymore?
I mean, really, I think it would be fair to say, that's a good question, Patrick. I think what would be fair to say is that my experience in the department is that they're really looking people that have a heart for ministering to soldiers and have a heart for a pastoral ministry of really caring and looking after soldiers. I think it's important to kind of put in the effort with regards to physical exercise, but I think what they're really looking for is people that have that pastoral and caring heart. And I think, depending on who wants to apply, I think that your age and your physical ability would be part of that discussion. But I think, yeah, I think the first and foremost thing would be to say, right, have you got a heart for supporting people and for caring for them in difficult challenges? And are you, of course, happy to work in an army environment, which is very, very different? It's a very different environment than a church structure, but in a good way, I think. I think both structures are good, and the army makes for a nice and interesting difference. It's a very sort of distinct structure from church life, and I think having a chaplain there who is very much there whilst you're an officer, but you're really there to support rather than take overall command in any way, I think that brings benefit both to the army and to the minister. So, yeah, so anyone applying or thinking about applying, I wouldn't worry too much about age. I'd ask those questions and I'd do a bit of research.
Okay, Stuart, well, thank you very much for that. So a second track tonight takes us to Howard Shaw and Edward Ross with The Breaking of the Fellowship, of course, from, well, you'll tell us where that comes from.
Yes, yeah, so it's from the, as we would all agree, I'm sure, Patrick, the best films ever made, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which I've always loved. I love the books, love the trilogy, and I always found this bit of music particularly moving. It's good stuff.
That's Howard Shore and Edward Ross, The Breaking of the Fellowship. A number of listeners messaging in saying how much they're enjoying listening to that. And I messaged back and said, well, I'm just about to talk over it. sorry about that, because 7 minutes long. But we'll have it going there in the background. And thank you very much for choosing that, Stuart, because clearly people are enjoying that. So, Stuart, if we have a little chat about, well, first of all, your lockdown experience. How was that?
Lockdown, where to start? I don't think any of us could have imagined we were in this situation. I think for myself, lockdown was kind of kicking in as we were approaching Easter, and it was going to be the first Easter that I celebrated at my two new churches. Obviously that couldn't happen as we were planning, and we had to do something virtual. I think lockdown, I don't know, it kind of breaks my heart, really, because I've been in touch with so many people, I'm sure, like yourself, Patrick, who have felt so isolated and felt so cut off.
Yes.
And trying to support them without the opportunity to visit or be physically present in the way that we would like has been quite a challenge. But again, I think it's opened up new doors. You've got to try and find, if you can, adapt and overcome. And this sort of new sort of media tech age that the church has suddenly stepped into in the past 7 months has been fascinating to watch. I don't think YouTube or Facebook have ever been awash of so many sermons.
Well, no, that's right, of course. And of course, there was one memorable Sunday morning, wasn't there, when I think it might have been when many churches were back, when the entire Zoom network in the UK collapsed because so many churches were engaged with that.
Yes, absolutely. And I suppose there's one sense where that's quite a good problem to have, in a way, where the church is, getting online and getting out there. And I've been really impressed just to see so many ministers, both lay and ordained, who have really got out there and are putting these wonderful services on. In we probably don't have much technical experience. It's been really good to see. And I don't know about you, Patrick, but I think this age of digital services won't end with COVID. Whenever that is, I think we'll probably be doing digital services for quite a long time now, in some form or another.
Yes, I think so. And also, of course, with the new situation that we're going into as well, I fancy that we're going to be trying to do some things like on Zoom as well, kind of some teaching activities and things of that sort. And we did an online with Zoom quiet day back in June. That seems like forever ago, and that worked very well. So there's all kinds of things that churches can do. But what about individuals, Stuart? How are individuals going to have learnt from all of this? And we're going into a bit of an unknown future now, and the government are kind of like saying that things are going to get worse before they get better. So how can we be adapted and be able to deal with this kind of situation going forward?
Yeah, no, I think earlier I mentioned both in the Church of England and in the military, you're encouraged in both of those roles to look back to what your forebears have done. So both army chaplains and civilian ministers, we take the time to look at what they were doing 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 800 years ago. And I think the word unprecedented has gone around quite a lot in regards to COVID. And of course, for all of us living, this is completely unprecedented, and that's entirely appropriate. However, in the history of the church and our nation, of course, the situation is not unprecedented. There have been numerous pandemics and sort of plagues and high periods of disease that have sadly attacked our communities for many, many hundreds and thousands of years. And I think one thing that's been helpful for me is to remember that, as a Christian, I've got a faith and I've got an identity that's bound up in God that disease can't touch. And I think for a lot of people that can sound like quite an abstract concept, that can sound like quite a nice thing to believe in, but it may not be very relevant for them. But for me, the pandemic has shown us that actually these abstract concepts are really important. The fact that, I've got Jesus and no disease can take that away from me, and that's part of my identity. Because I think one thing that the pandemic has shown us is how fragile we are as a society.
Yes.
We're really, really blessed to have so many advances in science and in care and all these sorts of things, but ultimately we're still quite vulnerable because we're humans. And I would hope that everyone takes the time to think about, you know, when we are faced with such an existential threat, you know, what are we really going to hold on to? You know, where are we going to find our identity when we face these difficult situations? Because the church has faced these in the past and has always taught, well, let's look to a hope that disease can't take away and can't touch.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if I said to you, but I've said to a number of people that very first day when the Prime Minister was on and giving us all of those dreadful figures that was going to happen and therefore we were going to have an instant lockdown, I went down to the main one of my churches down there in Ingatestone, and I went and looked at the board with the list of all the rectors. And of course, having these ancient churches, I've got people who were there listed, who were like the vicarage during the Black Death in the 1100s, yeah, and etc. in the 1300s, and then people from the plague in the 1600s, and so it goes on. And I personally took some comfort in that, to think that actually, you know, people have survived things much worse in many ways than this before, and we shall survive it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Great, Stuart. Okay, well, we've got your final track, and then you're going to hang around for us and take part in our birthday quiz, aren't you? So that will be really good.
Yeah,
lovely. Well, the final track we've got is Adele and Skyfall. And if people follow me on Facebook it's simply Patrick Sherring at Phoenix FM, then I put on a live performance by Adele of Skyfall, and on that from Glastonbury, and there's also an amazing performance of it at the Oscars she did. So why do you like this track, Stuart?
I think this track has become a little bittersweet for me, because of course we were supposed to be having a new James Bond film this year.
We were.
We were supposed to have No Time to Die this year, but for very obvious reasons that's been delayed, I believe, until summer 2021.
That's the idea.
Yeah, and I think Skyfall is still very much my favourite Bond. I think it's a fantastic film, and I think this song goes very well with it. So I'm going to probably re-watch it until the next one comes out.
There's some really old ones as well, Stuart, that are not bad.
Sure. Sure. So overdue, I owe them.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
It is indeed, and just about 6 minutes up until 9 o'clock, so probably only have the opportunity for one, maybe two, we'll have to wait and see, of our birthday quiz tracks that we're going to have tonight in order to take part in the competition. And it's very, very simple. If you want to be somebody who wants to take part in this as well, you just have to email me in radio at phoenixfm.com with the age of the person. So the first one that we've got tonight, this is Daryl Franklin Hall, H-O-H-L, interestingly, better known by his stage name as Daryl Hall, an American rock, R&B and soul singer, keyboardist, guitarist, songwriter and producer, best known as the co-founder and principal lead vocalist of Hall and Oates, with guitarist songwriter John Oates in the 1970s and early 1980s. Hall scored numerous American chart hits and is regarded as one of the best soul singers of his generation. Guitarist Robert Fripp, who collaborated with him in the late 70s and early 80s, said, "Daryl's pipes were a wonder. I've never worked with a more able singer." So we're going to hear a UK number 8 and a USA number 1 and a Swedish number 5. I can't go for that. And so the question is, how old do you think Daryl Hall was during this week? Radio at phoenixfm.com.
Time.
That's all the notes, and I can't go for that. And thank you to the folks who are taking part tonight. That's Stuart, who you heard earlier on. And also we have regulars Chris and Bob and Patrick, who are taking part with this. And we will be continuing our birthday quiz. Two more to go after we've had the latest news update. And welcome back. And if you've just joined us, it's great to have you with us. Tonight, my feature interview was with Stuart Hull, talking about his role as a military chaplain with the army and also the kind of things that we can learn from lockdown. It's very fascinating. It's all been recorded. And so it will be there on the show blog Friday, the 16th of October, 2020. We've done one of our three tracks tonight for the birthday's quiz, and we've got Stuart himself taking part in this together with Patrick and Chris and Bob, and we've come to our second one tonight. So this is Douglas Dougie Vipond, is a Scottish broadcaster and drummer for the band Deacon Blue, where he was one of the founder members along with Ricky Ross and Lorraine McIntosh. Their 1988 hit Real Gone Kid peaked at number 8 in the UK singles chart. They've had 12 UK top 40 singles and 2 number 1 albums. He remains an active recording and touring member of the group, alongside having a broadcasting career, which has included presenting a range of sporting events, including the Scottish Cup Finals, international rugby, and various other activities for BBC Scotland. So there's our man. So the question is, how old was Dougie Vipond during this week? Radio at phoenixfm.com.
Tear out the pages that I've got in these books, just to find you some words, just to get some reward, and I'd show you all the photographs that I ever got took, and I'd play old 45s that now mean nothing to me. You're a real gone kid. Maybe not, baby.
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 I'll do what I should have did. Now I've stood on your shadow. Shaking and stripping me. And let me know, let me know, let me know, let me know about all the old 45s and the paperback rooms. And it's scattered on the photographs of summers and suns. And you're a real gone kid. And maybe now, baby.
Yeah.
Deacon Blue and Real Gone Kid. And now we come to the third person in our competition tonight, but I will tell you that of the four answers we had for Dougie Vipond, one of them was absolutely correct, but you're going to have to find out who that was a little bit later on after we've done Midge Ure OBE. James Midge Ure, to be exact, as he was born, though not Midge, of course. Scottish musician, singer, songwriter, and producer. Stage name, of course, Midge. Ure enjoyed particular success in the 70s and 80s in bands including Slick, Thin Lizzy, Rich Kids, and Visage. And as the frontman of Ultravox in 84, he co-wrote and produced the charity single Do They Know It's Christmas, which has sold 3.7 million copies in the UK. The song is the second highest selling single in the UK chart history. He co-organised Band Aid, Live Aid and Live 8 with Bob Geldof, and he acts as a trustee for the charity and also serves as an ambassador for Save the Children. He's a producer and writer of several other synth pop new wave hit singles in the 1980s as well. Okay, so that's Midge Ure. So we're going to listen to his 1985 UK number 28. So not one of the tracks I suspect you were expecting, but the track That Certain Smile. And so I've got just under 4 minutes for emails to radio at phoenixfm.com to think how old Midge Ure was during the week. Mature, and that certain smile. So we've come to the end of our competition tonight. Thank you for Chris, Bob, Stuart and Patrick who took part tonight. Okay, let's go through these answers and find who our winner is tonight. So we had Daryl Hall of Hall and Oates to begin with, and our answers range tonight from 63 through to 68, which I'm sure would have pleased Daryl absolutely very much indeed, because he actually was 74 during this week. So our closest person to that was Stuart, who was the person with 68. So that's 1 point to Stuart from the first one. Then we had Dougie Vipond from Deacon Blue, and also from Radio Scotland, as we heard, of doing sports broadcasts up there as well. And our range for him went from 50 through until 60. But he was actually 54 this last week, and that was Bob's guess. So congratulations to you, Bob. 3 points for getting Dougie Vipond absolutely correct. So that brought us to Midge at the end here. And the guesses for Midge ranged from 63 through until 69. But I have to tell you that Midge was 67 this week. And our closest to that was Bob with 1 point for that, because Bob got 66. So that means our final scores tonight are Patrick and Chris, thank you very much for taking part. Stuart with 1 point, but this week, back to winning ways. Last week, he was a thank you for taking part. Bob, this week with 4 points. And so thank you very much for all of those who took part in that tonight. And thank you very much for Stuart. Did you enjoy doing that, Stuart?
That was great. Thank you, Patrick. Some songs there that I've not listened to in a while. That's good.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much. And just a reminder to everybody that you were chatting with us in the first hour tonight. And what was all that about?
So speaking on my experience serving as a chaplain in the Army Reserve alongside my civilian ministry, and thinking about some big issues facing us during COVID.
Thank you. And it's all been recorded. And so if you missed Stuart chatting about that, then it's all there. It'll be on the show blog Friday, the 16th of October, 2020. Cheers, Stuart. Thank you very much. And I look forward to chatting to you again at some point.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
Cheers, Stuart. Bye-bye now. And well, Bob, I know as you are the winner tonight, you are such a big fan of the Beach Boys.
Seems the more we talk about it, it only
That's for Bob, who took part, of course, tonight in our competition and was the winner tonight. So thank you very much for taking part in that, Bob. Really great to have you with us here tonight and to see you back in those winning ways, as we expect. We shall wait and see where you're at next week. I'm sure there's nothing in this about your wife kind of like putting through here and saying that you've been swatting up. I'm sure, well, maybe you have. Who's to say? Patrick also took part tonight. Thank you very much, Patrick. And he also had a request for tonight as well. This track was a USA number two, kept off number one by Simon and Garfunkel. Calls Mrs. Robinson, but it made number one in the UK in November 68 and was there for 3 weeks. This was a film theme from the film The Good, The Bad and The Ugly.
Hi, it's Darren. Join me every Wednesday night for Reggae Revival. 2 hours of classic reggae, dub, and a sprinkling of lovers rock. Listen live on 98 FM, via the website, or catch up on Spotify. Wednesdays, 10 p.m. till midnight.
Reggae Revival on Phoenix FM.
When visiting the Brentwood, Shenfield, and Ingatestone High Streets, please remember to follow the government's current COVID-19 guidance to ensure that you have a safe shopping and dining experience. Make space, wash your hands frequently, and cover your face in enclosed spaces. Find out more about what you need to do on www.gov.uk/coronavirus. This COVID Secure campaign has been funded by England European Regional Development Fund as part of Reopening High Street Safety Fund. The Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government is the managing authority for European Regional Development Fund.
Patrick Shearing on Phoenix FM for Brentwood and Billericay.
Hour when I cannot breathe, fears on my chest, the weight of the world on me, everything's crashing down. I can't stop thinking about. I can't stop thinking about. I can't stop thinking about your goodness, goodness. I can't stop thinking about. I can't stop thinking about. I can't stop thinking about your.
That's a great song of faith from Lauren Daigle. Remember, it's 28 minutes after 9 on a Friday night. Don't forget, Dave's along at 10 with Retrograde. And taking us nearer to that, it's time for this. So looking at the chart this week, way back in 74. At number 20, it's the Commodores with Machine Gun. 19, David Essex, Gonna Make You a Star. And 18, it's Sylvia, Viva España. Number 17, Having Your Baby, that's Paul Anka. 16, The Bitch Is Back, Elton John. 15, Farewell from Rod Stewart. And 14, Gary Shearston, I Get a Kick Out of You. At 13, it's Reggae Tune from Andy Fairweather Low. At 12, Queen of Clubs, Casey and the Sunshine Band. 11, Everything I Own from Ken Booth. And at 10, it's David Bowie and Knock on Wood. At number 9, Can't Get Enough of Your Love, that is Barry White. At 8, You from Alvin Stardust. 7, Hang On In There from Johnny Bristol. At 6, it's Long Tall Glasses from Leo Sayer. Number 5, G Baby from Peter Shelley. At 4, Kung Fu Fighting with Carl Douglas. At number 3, Sad Sweet Dreamer from Sweet Sensation. And at 2, Rock Me Gently from Andy Kim. Which means it's first week at number 1 for John Denver and Annie's Song.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Come let me love you, let me give my life to you, let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your arms.
like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like the sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me.
John Denver and his song, number one in the UK, USA, Canada and Ireland, and number 11 in South Africa. And he said of that song that he wrote it in 10 and a half minutes one day on a ski lift. So there you go. It's pretty amazing for 10 and a half minutes work. And of course, a fantastically successful song. At number three, one of those groups that I had completely forgotten, which is a Sweet Sensation. They were first appeared on the UK television series. We'll find out a little bit more about that a little bit later on. A bit like the early X Factor. That's where they came from. And this was their number three hit. Listeners saying that that's one of those tracks that's just not heard for years and years, decades probably. UK number three there this particular week in October 1974. That song was written by David Parton and co-produced by David Parton and Tony Hatch, and he and Jackie Trent sang on the track to augment Sweet Sensation, and Hatch wanted to work with them after they were discovered on New Faces while he was on the judging panel. Gosh, anybody else out there remember New Faces? Wow, that's a seriously long time ago. But then, of course, we don't want to go just how long ago, 1974 actually is, because that'll make some of us feel older than we might. At number 19, well, you're going to know this. This is David Essex. David Essex went on to be number one for 3 weeks in November in 1974. Going to make you a star, but they didn't like it in America. Believe it or not, only reached number 105 over there. Paul Simon had a birthday this week. He was 79.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit room. Mr. Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't
this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you call me out, call me out.
Simon and Call Me Al. It's got a great video with that as well. I'm sure you've enjoyed that over the years. And don't forget, of course, that all of the shows that I've done since I came back, actually post-lockdown, you can access all of those on the Phoenix FM website. You can just go on to schedule and click on my name or presenters or shows, Friday Night Extra, all from the drop-down menus, and there they all are. And in fact, as I was saying to Stuart Hull just earlier on, actually there are shows going back on there for now 9 years, and you can access recordings of many of them. And of course, my chat with Stuart tonight about military chaplaincy, well, you can access that once we have the recording up, and that will be on Friday the 16th of October. When we had Ian Adams in, who works in Cambridge, a couple of months back now, I can't believe that, he introduced us to the music of Stacey Kent, and I thought this track of hers goes rather well with the world we're living in at the moment, certainly from its title anyway. It's simply called Make It Up.
Make it up. the history of love's told every day in songs and books, like some big romantic kitchen filled with way too many cooks. Everyone has got a theory, an opinion, or an angle, and they treat them like they're precious diamonds dangling from a bangle. I love you, and you love me. By now, we'd have figured out the reason and the rhyme. You love me, and I love you. And it's been this way so long that if we knew what we were doing, we'd be doing it all wrong. So let's just make it up as we go. To work it out myself, I tried to have a plan, but I've always ended up alone, right back where I began. Now with you it's all so easy, there's no reason to look down, so let's just keep on flying with our heads up in the clouds. I love you, and you love me. By now we'd have figured out the reason and the rhyme. You love me, and I love you. And it's been this way so long that if we knew what we were doing, we'd be doing it all wrong. So let's just make it up as we go. Are the ones we hold most dear. So here's to happy accidents and playing it by ear. I love you, and you love me. And I can't tell you why. You'd have thought by now we'd have figured out the reason and the rhyme. You love me.
Okay. Let's just make it up. Yeah, I'm not saying anything, but the music of Stacey Kent is really good, isn't it? And thank you to Ian for introducing her music to us. Tomorrow afternoon, of course, there's still a lot of sport happening around the country, and to particularly get information about local sport to this area, there's really only one show to listen to and only one station that will be on.
I'm John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
And there's a Lady Antebellum, our last track tonight. They're off down south.
I was born, I was blessed. Right place, right time, I guess. Ain't no good reason why I left except to run and roam. Would you take me back and take me in? Let me be your child again. Kiss my cheek, forgive my sins, and let me call you home. Small town, south is where my mama lives, where my little
That's Lady A, as we must call them these days, and Down South. And so that brings us to the end of the show tonight. Thank you very much for being with me. And thanks very much to Stuart for joining me for a chat as well. So do check out the Slurk Show blog, won't you? It'll be around tonight, and then the recording will be added hopefully over the weekend. And I'll see you next week. And I'll leave you with the capable hands of Dave. Good night.
Phoenix 98 FM with Patrick Shearing.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News. France is Phoenix FM. News.